We're looking at Genesis 41 today, and if you are in a church Bible, that is on page 45, Genesis 41. When 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile when out of the river there came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows, ugly and gaunt, came up out of the Nile and stood beside those on the riverbank. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the 7 sleek, fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. He fell asleep again and had a second dream. 7 ears of corn, healthy and good, were growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other ears of corn sprouted, thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin ears of corn swallowed up the 7 healthy full ears. Then Pharaoh woke up. It had been a dream. In the morning, his mind was troubled, so he sent for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "Today I am reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And things turned out exactly as he had interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was hanged." So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he'd shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream, and no one can interpret it, but I've heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." "I cannot do it," Joseph replied to Pharaoh, "but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "In my dream, I was standing on the bank of the Nile when out of the river there came up 7 cows, fat and sleek, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows came up, scrawny and very ugly and lean. I'd never seen such ugly cows in all the land of Egypt. The lean, ugly cows ate up the 7 fat cows that came up first, but even after they ate them, no one could tell that they'd done so. They looked just as ugly as before. Then I woke up. In my dreams, I also saw 7 ears of corn, full and good, growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other ears sprouted, withered and thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin ears of corn swallowed up the 7 good ears. I told this to the magician, but no one could explain it to me. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he's about to do. The 7 good cows are 7 years, and the 7 good ears of corn are 7 years. It's one and the same dream. The 7 lean, ugly cows that came up afterwards are 7 years, and so are the 7 worthless ears of corn, scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It's just as I said to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered, because the famine that follows it will be so severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in 2 forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. And now, let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take 1/5 of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of those good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt so that the country may not be ruined by the famine. The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials, so Pharaoh asked them, "Can we find anyone like this man in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain round his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command, and men shouted before him, "Make way." Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift hand or foot in all Egypt." Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zaphnath-Paneah and gave him Asenath, daughter of Potipherah, prince of On, to be his wife, and Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentifully. Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it in the cities. In each city, he put the food grown in the fields surrounding it. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain, like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. Before the years of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potipherah, prince of On. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, "It is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household." The second son he named Ephraim and said, "It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering." The 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said. There was famine in all the other lands, but in the whole land of Egypt there was food. When all Egypt began to feel the famine, the people cried to Pharaoh for food. Then Pharaoh told all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph and do what he tells you." When the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph opened the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout Egypt, and all the countries came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph, because the famine was severe in all the world.
So we've seen that God had a plan and a purpose for Joseph's life, and He gave him those dreams at a very, very early age. But in order for that plan and purpose to be fulfilled, God had to take him on a journey and had to do a number of things in his life before he could do the things he wanted to do. And again, I just want to say that God has a plan and a purpose for every single one of us. He's given us gifts, talents, abilities, and whatever it is that God is calling you to do, then just go for it, okay? But at the same time, it may be that God wants to do some things in you before he can release that real potential that you have. And we've learned in this from Joseph as we've gone along. We've seen they went from a loved and favored son to a hated and despised brother. We saw that his own brother sold him into slavery, and he ended up in Potiphar's household. And God blessed him there, and he did really well. And then suddenly he was falsely accused, and he ends up in prison for doing the right thing. But even there, God blesses him, and he begins to oversee all the other prisoners. And he even takes care, as we saw last week, that even in his discouragement, that he sees that others are in need. And he gets alongside them and he listens to them. And God gives them the interpretations for the dreams of the cupbearer and the baker. But then, of course, he's forgotten man again. It's such an up and down story that Joseph has. And there's 2 full years that pass since Joseph has interpreted those dreams of the cupbearer and the baker, and they turned out exactly as he said. But you remember, he said to the cupbearer, "Remember me. Remember me." And of course, he doesn't. But then Pharaoh has a dream. The first thing I want to say is this. It was God who gave Pharaoh the dreams. We know as believers that one of the ways that God speaks to us is through dreams and through visions. Who's had a dream where God has spoken to him through a dream? Yeah? And is that so? No others? Because God speaks through dreams in a lot. We see it a lot in the scriptures, but also it's my experience. I've God spoken to me in dreams, and I know many people, God speaks to them in dreams. And as Christians, we believe that, and we receive that. We know that he speaks to us through his word. We know that he speaks to us through wise counsel, through other people. We know that he speaks to us through his Holy Spirit, through even circumstances. But dreams and visions is something that we should expect God to speak to us. But here he speaks to a non-believer in a dream. God is able to speak to anyone he wants to speak to. And again, it's not the only time he does it. He does it in a number of different ways. We see in Daniel, we see it, how God uses different foreign kings to do his will. God does what he wants to do. And he speaks to Pharaoh in these dreams, but Pharaoh doesn't understand it. God's speaking to him about the future, and the future of his nation and the nations that are going to surround him, and he doesn't understand. So he gets all his magicians around him to try and to discern what it is, but no one can tell him. And it's at that moment where the cupbearer suddenly remembers. He remembers his shortcomings and says, "Ah, there is a man." Do you think that the cupbearer was wrong in forgetting Joseph? Who thinks he was wrong? Do you think that he was awful to forget Joseph? Not to mention him to... Yeah? Well, maybe he was. But do you know, if he had mentioned him 2 years earlier, what do you think would have happened? Absolutely nothing. If he'd mentioned it to Pharaoh, to the others around, no one would have taken any notice. It didn't really mean anything. It wasn't significant enough for them. It was significant for the cupbearer because it turned out in his favor. But for everyone else, it wouldn't have really meant much. You see, God's timing is perfect, isn't it? God's timing is perfect. And it may be that you're waiting for something to happen, and you've been waiting a long time, and you're wondering why these things haven't happened. Well, God's timing is perfect. He knows exactly what he's doing and when it should happen. So the first thing, it was God who gave Pharaoh the dreams, and God speaks to non-believers. I've experienced that myself, that, you know, even when I think about Adam and Sarah, who were part of the church and part of the church plant over in Mourne Manor, they both came to this church because of dreams. And I remember Sarah, she had made a commitment as a teenager, and God spoke to her through a dream, and she started coming back to church. Adam started coming, and God was speaking to him in dreams, and he used to sit in my office, and we'd have these conversations. So, "What do you say? I had this dream." And I used to smile and go, "My goodness, I think God's trying to tell you something." So we shouldn't be surprised when God speaks, and we should be ready to actually jump in and say, "I think I can help you understand that." And God's timing is perfect. The second thing was in this passage, it was God who gave Joseph the interpretations. In verse 16, when the cupbearer says this Hebrew guy called Joseph who can interpret these dreams, it would have been very easy when Joseph was standing before Pharaoh for him to say, when Pharaoh says, "I've heard you can interpret dreams," for him to have said, "Yes, I can. It is all about me. I am so clever and you need me." Because he could be thinking, this could help me get out of my situation. But even in that moment of possible temptation to put himself first and to say, look, how great I am, how good I am. Joseph still says, when Pharaoh says, I've heard you interpret dreams, he says, I can't. He says, I cannot, but God can. There's a real sense of, growth in his humility and in his wisdom there. Gone is the young, immature man who maybe was a little bit arrogant, maybe a little bit proud as a teenager. For me personally, I think he was a teenager and immature and unwise in how he shared those dreams with his family members. But now that's gone, and he's saying, look, I can't do it, but God can. And, you know, whatever gifts and talents that God has given to you, you remember they are gifts that God has given to you. And they're gifts of grace, okay? They're gifts of grace. You may be the most gifted person, but they're still gifts of grace that God gives to you. And it's God. It's not because you're so amazing, although I'm sure you are. It's God's grace. And it's easy for us to get overproud and think that God couldn't possibly do things without us. But that's the second thing. It's God who gives Joseph the interpretations. Thirdly, it was God who gave Joseph the plan. You look at verse 33, you know, after Joseph has interpreted the dreams and told him exactly what they mean, he then goes on to tell him what he needs to do. He said, you need to find a wise man to oversee the project. You need to gather 20% of all the food produced during the years of prosperity. You need to sell the grain stored up during the 7 years of prosperity. And then during the 7 years of famine, you've got it there to give to people, to sell to people. He has this incredible plan in place that God gives to him. And, you know, whether or not you're in business, whether or not you're in family, whether or not, whatever profession you're in, it's so important that we understand that God is interested in what you're doing. And that God can help you in whatever area or sphere of life that you are engaged with. You know, if you're in IT, don't think that God doesn't know anything about IT. Because he does. You know, if you're in finance, God knows everything about finance. You know, he can give guidance. He can help. You know, so often we divide the secular and, you know, the sacred, as it were, the spiritual, and yet they're together. Here we see the spiritual is very much in with the secular. This is a plan, you know, to look after a whole nation during a time of trouble. But it's God, it comes through a dream, it comes through a plan that God gives to Joseph. And maybe you're in a situation where you need God to give you wisdom or guidance in what to do. And believe he will do it. And ask him to help you to do that. See, it's God who's able to release those things and to give guidance. The fourth thing was this, that in this passage, it was God who gave Joseph the promotion. It'd be easy to, because we read here that Pharaoh says, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. And it's Pharaoh who says, you know, I'm promoting you. You're now becoming my prime minister. You're now number two in the whole of the nation. And suddenly Joseph goes from being a slave in prison and in charge of a few to being number two in the whole nation of Egypt and having millions to oversee. It's an incredible story. But this is what God had planned for him. This was what it was all about. This is what the 13 years leading up to were about. This is all the preparation. This is all the ups and downs. It was for this moment. And it's God who promotes Joseph. Maybe you're in a position where you think that you get overlooked. Maybe you'd like a promotion. Maybe you've had a promotion. You know, I've often heard people say that it's just not fair that they get overlooked or, you know, they get stopped or from whatever it is that they're trying to achieve. I honestly believe But if God wants you to do something, or if he wants you in a position of influence or power, there is only one person who can stop you from being in that place, and that's yourself. It doesn't matter what anybody else does. God can work around that, and he does. He can either remove them, or he can put you in a different place at a different time. But it may be, if you're in that place now, that God wants to do something in you or teach you or try something, you know, that's going to help you grow and develop. You see, God is the one who gives promotion. God is the one who extends grace and favor and gives influence. What do we learn about God from these passages this morning? We learn this, that God's timing is perfect in everything. His timing is perfect. And we learn that he is sovereign over all men and over all events. God is God. His timing is perfect and he is sovereign over all men and all events. What do we learn from Joseph? We learn this, that during those times of difficulty, of problems, of having to wait, that Joseph never stopped trusting in the Lord. And that as he waited, that he didn't wait there moaning, complaining, he didn't get angry or bitter. Whatever God gave him to do, he did it with all his heart. Whether he was in Potiphar's house, whether he was in the prison, and then later, as you see, whether he's the prime minister of Egypt, God gives him success because he works diligently. Never despise the small things. If God gives you something that you feel is insignificant, never despise it. If he gives you something to do, do it with all your heart. He trusted. He waited patiently. He was faithful in all the tasks that were set apart for him. And you know, and once God did grant him success, once God did raise him up to that position of influence and power, what did he do? He gave thanks. He gave thanks to him. He acknowledged that this was God. He acknowledged God's goodness to him. So often, when we get into those places where we do well, when we achieve things, it's dangerous. Because it's in those places of success that we can forget God. Because somehow we think we've done it on our own, or somehow we think we can do this without God and we no longer need him. It's often in the tough times that we experience more of a closeness with God than during the good times. What do we learn for ourselves? Well, it depends where we are on the journey. See, all of us are on this journey. God has a plan and a purpose, and he's working it out. And it may be that you're in the place where you're enjoying life, where things are just fruitful and effective, where the rewards of life are good. Don't forget to give thanks daily to God. Don't forget to lift your heart in praise daily for his goodness towards you. Maybe you're waiting. Maybe you're waiting and you feel like you've been waiting for a long time. In the midst of it, don't panic. Stay calm. Keep trusting. Keep faith. Joseph constantly kept God at the center. Keep God at the center. Be patient. And whatever he's last asked you to do, do it. And do it with all your heart until he tells you to move on. Joseph has found himself in this incredible position of power and influence. But it's not the end of the story. There's another amazing twist that's coming, which is a really important part, which we're going to learn later. And I want to say, wherever you are on your journey, it doesn't have to be the end of the story. For better or for worse, it doesn't have to be the end of the story. With God, there's more to come. Amen. We thank you for your amazing love for us. Lord, we thank you for the plans and purposes you have for our lives. And Lord, wherever we are on this journey today, Lord, I just pray, Father, that we would just have your resolve. Lord, that you put within us that same steel, that same patience, that same perseverance that you put within Joseph. Lord, that you would mold our characters in the same way. Lord, that you would move us from maybe being immature, maybe being unwise, maybe being proud, maybe being arrogant. Lord, you'd move us from those positions to positions of humility and wisdom. And Lord, that our heart would constantly and daily set you at the center of our being. And Lord, whether we feel that we are enjoying life and the rewards of life, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to rejoice daily and to give you thanks for your many blessings. Or whether we feel that we're waiting and we're still waiting and we've been waiting a long time, Lord, just strengthen us. Give us resolve. Give us steel. Lord, give us faith. Increase our faith in you. Give us peace. And Lord, fulfill your purpose as I pray for each and every one of us. Lord, thank you that you love us. And Lord, we want to be used by you. Lord, we don't want to go through this life. We don't want to go through this journey not receiving the things you have for us or not doing the things you've called us to do. Lord, each of us have gifts and talents that you've released to us. And Lord, I pray that we'd have faith and courage to invest them into your kingdom. So Lord, today, just release your peace, release your patience, release your power, and release your people into the plans you have for them. Amen.